you and I have been so mightily blessed. But the one who has given us the blessings, all our joy, all of our heartbreak. See, God allows heartbreaks to come. Every problem you have in your life, Christian, is allowed there by God. He allows it to be in your presence. But He never leaves you, nor does He ever forsake you in the middle of all of this mess. He said, I'm with you. Last Sunday, when I was attempting to preach the message, one of my great problems I was having was today's message, that I didn't know that I was going to be preaching today until last Sunday while I was preaching the other message. Now, you want to get mixed up. When God is talking to you, He's talking to you. When we're looking in the fire and we know that Jesus is walking there, we know that He's walking there for a reason. To keep me and you out. To control the situation. There is nothing going on in your life that God is not able to take control of. You and I are the problem. And the main problem with us is we do not allow Him to take control. We want to tell Him how to control. That's proof that we are out of control. And God says, trust me. After the message last Sunday, I told Brother Randy, I said the message this following Sunday was going to be Even If He Doesn't. And that's not the title you have, but you're going to get to it. Because you see, the Lord says to you, and He says to me, when you say, my will be done, count on it. Amen. Lord, thy will be done, count on it. It's done. It's already taken care of. Why do I hurt? Why does anybody hurt? Do you expect to get through a life without pain, heartache, heartbreak? How are you going to grow in the Lord if there's never anything there that is wrong in your life? Now, I know some of you have tried to convince me that you have the most perfect wife and husband that has ever existed. I knew you were lying when you were saying it. Because perfection can only be found in Christ. Now, you may have a good man, you may have a good woman. But I got news for you. Neither of us are perfect in any sense. But I know the one who is. So why does He continue to put up with me and put up with you? There's a good reason for that. For God so loved every second of every day, you and I are a recipient of that love and that power that is there. Not just Sunday. There's not a time in your life when it isn't there. You know how I know again? Jesus said, thy will be done. Now, I want you to think of this. The will of God, when the will of God is allowed to be done within our life, and now hear me, God will not force His will on you. He will not force His love on you. God will love each and every one of us to such a great extent, to such great power, that it should be an irresistible love. I have told you for the 24 years I've been here, you got to work to go to hell, people. It is hard to go to hell because you got to miss the ultimate love of Almighty God to get there. You have to totally reject love in order to go to hell. I give you peace. I give you eternal life. I give you joy. I'll give you a place to where there'll be no more tear, no more pain, no more hurt, no more brokenness, no more anything that is evil. What's not to like about that? What's not to respect about that? A God that says, I so love you that I give you my only begotten Son. I so love you that my own Son will take not only the blame but your guilt and your punishment. And when you say yes to Him, you will receive the ultimate of love. A love that the world does not understand. A love that you and I do not understand. But I know I got it. I know I do. Because Jesus said so. He said, I love you. I care for you. I watched you grow before you were ever even thought of. I watched you grow. I know every step you're going to take. I know every hair on your head. And I know every tear that falls from your eye. I know each tear. I've counted them. I know what each tear represents. And I've given to you my ultimate forgiveness. You ever been so broken that you couldn't catch your breath? That you were weeping so profusely that you couldn't breathe and you thought you would smother to death under such strain and burden? Jesus said, I've been there. But I want you to know that when you say, my will be done in your life, it's going to make a difference. Even if the will of God, even if the will of God causes the ultimate punishment. Now hear me, Christian. You will never, ever feel the ultimate punishment. There is a sin and a punishment for that sin that you will never, ever feel. Because Jesus knew if He did not conquer it for you, that you would have to go through it. It is a punishment that no Christian will ever, ever feel. But Jesus did. And when He felt it for you. Because He loves you. Just like you are. Matthew 26, verse 42. Jesus had been forsaken. We're going to hear that story this morning. The Lord's Supper. He was betrayed. And He goes and He asked His disciples, stay awake and pray for me because I'm really hurting. I'm really hurting. There's nothing you can do for me other than pray, which is what I need. The Son of God asking the human beings to pray for Him. What'd they do? They went to sleep. The church in the United States of America had been asleep for decades when Christ says, come alive. He looks at His church and He sees people asleep. It's not asleep in a pew. It's asleep in life. Watching the world go by and saying, I can't get involved. Matthew 26, 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying to His Father, see, the death is coming. He sees it. He knows it. Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, Thy will be done. Then on that cross, when the ultimate of punishment had befallen Christ, the Son of God, Jesus was in such agony for you and for me. Such weeping, such brokenness. He couldn't breathe. He was on a cross. But He was smothering more because of you and me than the cross could ever bring about. But He cried out to His Father, Abba! Hebrew for daddy. Abba, Father! Daddy! Daddy! Why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Never. Now, never here means never, ever, ever. For God has no time limit. But it had never taken place to where God the Father, God the Son were ever separated. But when it came to expressing His ultimate love for you and for me, God turned His back on His own Son. Never and never again. His Son cried out with the agony from within. The tears were seen by God the Father, but it had to happen because Jesus had prayed, "Thy will be done." Even if it means this, I will not turn against my Father, the ultimate of torture and pain, separation. And Jesus witnessed ultimate hell for you and me. Then you know what He did? He conquered it. Because He didn't want you or me to ever have to go through what He just went through. And Christian, you never will. That's a feeling you will never feel. You'll feel all the pains of life and griefs. Anything going on with you is nothing unusual. It has happened to everyone else. But this never happened to anyone but Jesus. Even if my Father turns His back on me, I will not deny my Father. Woo! That's love. Jesus loves me. This I know. Won't you get me singing? Think of that. Thy will be done. Next, even if it causes the death of the faithful. Well, now, Lord, surely you do not want your faithful to suffer such death as this. Surely you don't want this to take place like this. Who do we think we are to tell God what He doesn't want? I feel honored. I feel blessed when I'm reviled for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a badge of honor, folks. When people spit on you because you know Jesus. What a badge of honor. Even if it causes death, Stephen, great young man of God, just a boy by our standards, great young man of God, as it could preach in Jesus, Stephen. Stephen didn't argue with him, but you know what he did? He preached Jesus. He just didn't pay any attention to them, and he kept preaching Jesus. They said, "You either stop or we'll stone you to death." Can't you imagine all of the young new believers that were around saying, "Stephen, surely God doesn't want that to happen to you. Look, you just need to sort of back off a little bit of the truth, and that'll save your life." Oh, I can imagine what people would have told him. You know, God can use you for something else. He will use you, really, when you won't stand up for what He's called you to do. If I deny Christ in my preaching, or you deny Christ in your walk, why would He trust you or me with another direction or another vocation? He said, "I love you, but are you willing to stand even if I don't save your physical life?" Well, you see, listen, my physical life to me is nothing. And I mean that with all my heart. And people who know me know that I mean that. But what it is a temple that God has given me, and I don't have a right to cut it short by any means. I must stand strong and I must stand true until the Lord decides it's time. And I ain't going until He decides. But even if I die, says Stephen, I'm going to preach dying. We'll stone you to death. Oh, the excitement of Stephen. Woo! Listen to it. Acts 7, verse 55. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, in my day in the old church at Etna Grove, preacher would have said, "He full of the Holy Ghost. He full of the Holy Ghost." So Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. full of the Holy Spirit, he looked up to heaven and he saw the glory of God. This human being had been stoned to death, and God putting on a show for him. That's just going to help distract you from a little bit of that pain, Stephen. Look at me. Woo! What a show. What's better than 3D? What comes after 3D? Does anybody know? Don't tell me 4D either. I mean, the ultimate of looking into heaven. Oh, and I always loved this part on Stephen. When Stephen stood up for Jesus, he said, "I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father." And everywhere else in Scripture, it's the only place you will ever find it in the Bible where Jesus is standing. He's always seated next to God the Father. But now he's standing. Stephen stood up representing Jesus. Jesus stood up. He said, "Look at me, Stephen. Keep your eyes on me." You see, you put your eyes on the ones that are throwing the stone. Oh man, they're going to hurt worse. "Keep your eyes on me. Even if you stone me," says Stephen, "I will continue to preach the word of God." He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Acts 7:59. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed. Listen to this. "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Did you know also that Stephen asked God in one of his prayers during this time, "Do not hold this against them." Remember me telling you he was full of the Holy Spirit? Do you remember Jesus saying the exact same thing? And do you remember Jesus saying the exact same thing of, "Father, receive my spirit. Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Remember that? That's the image of Christ that indwells us. And even though they're going to kill us, we are not allowed by the love of God to back away from his truth. "I will not allow Satan to deceive me to such a point that I can't love my fellow man." It ain't going to happen. You know why? We're going to be together in heaven. I don't want to try to explain that to you later. "Brother Larry, you didn't express too much love to me." Well, you didn't deserve so much love when I was down there. God's given me more grace now. I can see you're not so bad. You see, that's why we think humanly. But God said, "I want you to know me spiritually." We're living in a time period now when people will say all manner of evil against you falsely. There was a great man in Scripture by the name of Job. Remember him? God says that Job was a perfect man, meaning in his worship. Doesn't mean the perfect that you and I have, that we think about a perfection. He was a perfect man, righteous in all his ways, meaning he loved the Lord. And all of a sudden, Satan causes him to lose everything he had. Very wealthy, the wealthiest man on earth at the time. 10 children, 7 boys, 3 girls. They were killed. Every animal he had was destroyed by lightning, by raiders, everything he owned. And not only that, it had got to the point that the boils that Satan had caused to come upon his body were so many, so painful, that he took clay pot, broke it, and scraped himself just to get any kind of ease from the torture of a boil. But he refused. His wife tells him to curse God and die. And he says, "Oh, you speak as a foolish woman, or speak as one of the women of the world." But listen to what he did say. Even though he lost everything, he refused to charge God foolishly. Job 1, 20 through 22. "At this, Job got up." He'd lost it all. Nothing. Family and all. Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, then he fell to the ground and he worshiped. Woo! How many do you hear cursing God because something's going on wrong with them? And he worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. You will too. The Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. See, later in the story, we find out all of his friends had charged him that he had sinned, this great sin, that this was the reason. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, all of them saying, it's your fault, Job. But Job had not committed those sins. He was falsely accused. But even through all of that, all he went through the human agony and of hurt and despair, even to the day of his birth, he would curse. But he never charged God foolishly. Never. And at the end of that story, God comes on the scene and he tells his friends, hey, boys, you need to have Job pray for you because you're in trouble with me. You have wrongly accused your brother. You've wrongly accused him. And until he prays for you, you're in trouble with me. Can you picture him then? Job, now listen, we were just sort of encouraging you in our own way. We know you weren't really that bad. Oh, you lying. And Job prayed for him. And guess what happens? They get blessed and God restores to Job twice. Twice of what he already had before. Except for one area. His children. Odd. He got 10 more children, but he didn't get 20 more. Why? Why would God double everything except for those 10 children? Because he didn't lose them. They were with God the Father. He didn't lose them. They were waiting for him. Oh, you got to read Job. How many times Job prayed for those boys? I know the girls were angels. He prayed for those boys, and he said that. And you know what he said, why he was praying? He said, I'm praying for them lest their foolish hearts make them sin against God. Have mercy on them, Lord, because of the cases of the stupids. Have mercy on my children. And then what happens? They're gone. Great mercy. God took them, didn't he, hon? God took them in his arms. Even if he does not pull you out of the hands of those who are torturing you, Christian, don't you dare deny him, because I guarantee you, he will never deny you. No, never will he ever deny you. I'm his child. I may be ornery, but I'm his child. I'm his mess. And so are you. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name, thanking you for life, for love, for the truth that only you can give. Touch our lives now, Father. Bring peace into those who are so broken. Place into the mind of those who think they're losing their mind that they belong to you. Touch the heart that is breaking now. Mend that heart with your love. Allow your peace to supersede all understanding as your grace and mercy overpower all of hell itself. We ask that blessing now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.